male and female sex differences, contraception, transgenderism. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Ethics of Sex, From Taboo to Delight. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Ethics of Sex contributors include Issues Etc. guests Ben Mays, Tom Eckstein, and Richard Stuckwish. Ethics of Sex, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Can you tell me how and when you're going to pass legislation to defund Planned Parenthood?
Well, Planned Parenthood legislation would be in our reconciliation bill.
We're not going back. We are not going back. We will stand our ground. We will fight that decision by the Speaker to defund Planned Parenthood. And you know what? The American people are with us.
That's House Majority Leader Paul Ryan and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi talking about the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Of course, that conversation is not taking place in a vacuum. There has been a large expose over the next year plus, or the last year plus, talking about what Planned Parenthood has been doing. The question isn't only should taxpayer money go to pay for abortions. The question is, should it go to pay for what has now been proven conclusively to be criminal behavior on the part of Planned Parenthood? The final report of the House Select Investigative Panel on Infant Lives has been issued by the U.S. House of Representatives, and it says a lot of things that a lot of people have been saying already about Planned Parenthood. David DeLeiden is going to join us, founder of the Center for Medical Progress. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Monday afternoon, the 9th of January. We'll talk with David DeLeiden, and then Wesley Smith will join us. We're going to look ahead to 2017 and talk about some of the bioethical issues that are looming on the horizon. Joining us to talk about the final report of the House Select Investigative Panel on Infants' Lives, David DeLeiden, founder of the Center for Medical Progress. He developed and executed the center's Human Capital Investigation, documenting Planned Parenthood's illegal sale of body parts of aborted babies on video. David, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me on again.
You spent a lot of time over the last year or so being accused of essentially having manufactured these accusations against Planned Parenthood and carefully editing videos in order to make it look like they were doing these things. With the issuance of the final report out of the U.S. House, do you feel vindicated?
You know, it's certainly a vindication. And also, you know, I think that the only people who might be surprised that it's a vindication or might be surprised by the findings of the final report from the House panel would be Planned Parenthood and their supporters. I mean, at the end of the day, the video camera doesn't lie. And all we did was record on camera for the entire world to see, because the camera will be an objective witness to what went down and what was said. For the entire world to see the statements and admissions of Planned Parenthood's senior level leadership callously negotiating the harvesting and sale of aborted baby body parts. And everybody's been able to see that now. And so no matter how much Planned Parenthood and their political minions and their business partners might try and deny it or say, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? At the end of the day, they're never going to be able to erase those videos, and they're never going to be able to erase those statements from their own leadership that millions and millions and millions of Americans have seen now. And so what's special about the House Select Investigative Panel's final report is it corroborates everything that we filmed on camera and that was said by Planned Parenthood's own leadership undercover. It corroborates the very excellent report that was also put out by the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier in December. And so there's now this huge body of evidence that's available for anybody who cares to look to go and see how Planned Parenthood is guilty of everything we've said they were: selling aborted baby body parts for profit, changing their abortion methods in order to get higher quality, more saleable body parts, violating patient privacy and patient consent rules, doing all of this with the knowledge and support of the top level leadership at Planned Parenthood. And now that the documentation is out in the report, we can see that Planned Parenthood lied to the public about all this for a year and a half. They lied to the news media about it when they were asked about it, and they also lied to law enforcement in Texas when they were questioned about it. So it's an incredible vindication. It's also, I think, a really important milestone and monument about the people and their elected representatives taking the narrative back from Planned Parenthood and exposing them for what they really are.
Did you learn anything in looking at the report?
I did. I definitely did. One of the most interesting parts of the report for me was getting to read some of the excerpts from the under oath depositions that the panel took of some of Planned Parenthood's top leadership, including, you know, they redact the names in the panel, but you can identify based on their titles and their positions who they interviewed. It appears that they took depositions of Dr. Deborah Nucatola, who's the senior director of medical services at PPFA, the first video with the wine and the salad. They took the deposition of Melissa Farrell, the director of research at Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, the big mega center down in Houston. They also did an interview of Deborah Vanderhyde, the national director of the Consortium of Abortion Providers at PPFA. And these top-level Planned Parenthood leaders admit in these depositions and transcribed interviews before the panel, they admit that their doctors can change the abortion procedures in order to get better quality baby body parts, and they don't see a problem with that. They admit that Planned Parenthood's own consent form that they were administering to their patients to get them to agree to the harvesting of their fetal tissue, they admit that that form contains inaccurate statements and that it's invalid for patient consent. And the senior director of medical services, who is responsible for drafting that form and overseeing all the different protocols of their abortion practice, she admitted that she's never signed the required certification that the doctor is supposed to sign, saying, promising, I did not change anything about this patient's abortion in order to get better quality body parts. She said in 5 years of doing the body parts harvesting at the abortions in Los Angeles, she has never signed that required statement.
So
that just gives you a little bit of a taste of how Planned Parenthood regards the law.
So the picture that emerges here, as if the number of abortions that Planned Parenthood performs otherwise wouldn't be horrific to a reasonable mind, what we see here, and tell me if I'm overstating the case, David, is kind of expanding their industry beyond just simply taking money for abortions. They were now using the babies who were aborted here for another profit center at Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. For Planned Parenthood, after they do the abortion and kill the baby is basically just medical waste. So Planned Parenthood is just going to throw the fetus away anyway. But what they were offered by several of these startup for-profit middleman companies in California and elsewhere was that, hey, don't just throw it away. You know, you're paying these medical waste companies to come and take away your fetal tissue. What if we come in, harvest the organs, and for every organ determined in the clinic to be usable, that's the actual language from these contracts. For every piece of baby determined to be usable in the clinic, we'll give you a payment. And so the payments add up: multiple body parts per baby, multiple babies aborted per day, multiple abortion days per week. And Planned Parenthood didn't have to do any work. Planned Parenthood had no cost other than to let these companies come in and harvest the body parts, and they got the per volume payment based on the number of usable, saleable body parts that they could provide.
This is very important, David, that, and you've mentioned this before, but the point that it was patently and well known that it was illegal for them to change abortion methods. Why is that such an important point here when it comes to these charges against Planned Parenthood?
Well, it's important for several reasons. Number one, it is against the federal law to change your abortion methods in order to try and get better or more usable body parts for fetal tissue experimentation. It's also completely against just basic medical ethics that if you're consenting a patient to a certain type of procedure and you're promising the patient that you're going to make decisions about your medical care of them only with regard to what is actually in the patient's medical interests, and then in reality, after you've promised them that as a doctor, you're changing the procedure that you're doing on them, and you're changing it for reasons that are completely unrelated to their medical care, That's an extremely grave medical ethics and medical legal violation, where Planned Parenthood especially is being very hypocritical because they're no longer caring for pregnant women as autonomous individuals with rights. They're treating them like harvesting pods to line Planned Parenthood's pockets with. And the third reason that's a really important admission is that it shows that if Planned Parenthood, why is Planned Parenthood going to all the trouble to change their abortion methods, right, and to do these custom abortion procedures in order to get the more intact body parts? Well, they're willing to do that precisely because they have a financial interest in getting the intact body parts for sale to these different companies.
So let's talk a little bit about what the possible results of the report from both the Senate Judiciary Committee and the final report of the House Select Investigative Panel on Infant Lives. What should happen here next?
What needs to happen is Planned Parenthood needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law by law enforcement on both the federal, state, and local level. This is not just a couple of bad barnacles on the boat. It's not just one or two rogue Planned Parenthood clinics or rogue affiliates somewhere in the country. These are their biggest and richest Planned Parenthood affiliates across the entire country, some of the most prestigious Planned Parenthood offices that are in charge of piloting out and testing out new business models and new strategies for the entire federation across the country. It's actions involving and implicating top-level Planned Parenthood leadership, literally from the CEO on down, all of their medical services department, all of the people in charge of drafting and enforcing their internal Planned Parenthood medical policies. And it's action that was coordinated and supported at the national level across the different affiliates. So the entire organization is a criminal enterprise. They're corrupt from the top on down, from their head to their toes, and they need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law in the new administration, and not one more red cent of American taxpayers' money should be going to subsidize their criminal abortion business.
So there's a criminal aspect to this. That is, they ought to be prosecuted because of the violations of the law. But also, this makes a moral case that the U.S. government has no business funding a organization that has acted criminally, as has Planned Parenthood.
It's bad enough to force hardworking American taxpayers to subsidize the abortion industry, and that's what we're doing when Planned Parenthood receives $500 million in taxpayer money every year. That's bad enough as it is. The vast majority of Americans, 60 to 70%, do not want their tax money going to pay for abortions. We want our money to go to paying for real health care, not paying for abortion, and not subsidizing big abortion like Planned Parenthood and their allies. But it's even worse when Planned Parenthood is not just your friendly mom-and-pop abortion clinic following the laws and killing children in the process, but Planned Parenthood is involved in absolutely grotesque violations of the law, like harvesting and selling baby body parts for profit. So it's not just an issue of, I mean, it is certainly an issue first and foremost of making sure that taxpayer money doesn't go to paying for and subsidizing Big Abortion Incorporated, but it's also a matter of making sure that we're not subsidizing criminal activity and grotesque criminal activity that cuts to the core of who we are as Americans and who we are as a people, that we don't believe that human beings ought to be commodified and that there should be a price tag put on their body parts.
David, I don't think I've ever heard you answer this question, although I'm sure you've been asked it. What first put you onto this? What was the first thing that got you going to look into and to launch the human capital investigation?
You know, the issue of selling the body parts of aborted children first came across my radar about 6 years ago. There was a very important and very seminal expose that was done by Mark Crutcher's group, Life Dynamics, out in Texas in like 1999, 2000. And it got some media coverage at the time. Most of their information came from a Planned Parenthood clinic in the middle of the country in Texas. But unfortunately, this was before the age of the internet, before YouTube, before social media, before the rise of the alternative media. And so Planned Parenthood was able to kind of scurry away and pretend like nothing had ever happened, and it kind of died down. And then nobody followed up. No major pro-life organization focused on the issue of selling baby parts for a good 10 years, at least until after that. And really, it was a full 15 years until CMP started releasing our findings. And when I first found out about this back in 2010, you know, I could not get over, and I still can't get over to this day, this really cruel paradox that's at the heart of it, that is that the body parts are only valuable for Planned Parenthood and their business partners to sell precisely because they're human just like us. The way that the law is structured right now, the unborn child is not considered to be fully human enough, fully equal enough to have equal protections of the law and be protected from being killed by abortion. And yet at the same time, it's precisely that equal and identical humanity to our own that makes them so valuable for experimentation. And to me, that, you know, that cuts to the core of our discourse in this country about abortion policy, about how we talk about and treat unborn children, and about whether we, you know, it forces us to really choose. Do we really believe that all people are created equal, and in the equal protection of the laws for all people? And so it's, you know, I think it's foundational. I think there's a really cruel paradox in it that highlights that foundational issue for everybody. And I think it's central to what kind of people we're going to be, and whether we're going to be a society that respects and that treats each other with respect and that values everybody, or if people are just numbers and sacks of meat that you can put price tags on their body parts and everyone has a price and that's it.
Finally, then, with about a minute here, David, to your knowledge, has this activity, this illegal activity on the part of Planned Parenthood and its affiliate organizations, has it stopped?
We have no evidence that it has stopped. Planned Parenthood's most recent statements say that some of their large affiliates are still involved in harvesting body parts. They claim that they're no longer receiving money for it. However, from what I can tell from the panel's final report, it looks like they have produced no original documentation whatsoever to support that. So as far as we know, we already know that in the past year and a half, they've lied to the public, lied to the media, and lied to law enforcement about how their affiliates were running these programs for the past 5 years. So with that kind of track record, I don't think we should take anything that they say at face value anymore. And that's why there needs to be a full criminal investigation by the FBI and DOJ.
Someone listening to us might say, look, okay, if they defund Planned Parenthood, we know what Planned Parenthood's going to do. They're going to use this as a fundraising campaign, and they're going to appeal to people who say, I kind of feel sorry for Planned Parenthood. The government just took $500 million away from them. Maybe I should support them. What would you say to such a person?
I would say to someone that if, you know, I hope that they're not thinking that they want to support a big criminal abortion business. Somebody like that is probably thinking they want to support health care for poor people and health care for the needy. And if you want to do that, there's plenty of excellent, very wholesome and mainstream, normal, nonprofit healthcare organizations around the country. There's many good federally qualified health centers that provide full spectrum healthcare to people in need without regard to cost or ability to pay. There's plenty of better places for both taxpayers and also for just philanthropists to spend their money to provide healthcare, real healthcare for the poor and needy, without subsidizing a big abortion business like Planned Parenthood.
David DeLeiden is founder of the Center for Medical Progress. He developed and executed the center's human capital investigation documenting Planned Parenthood's illegal sale of body parts of aborted babies. You can find out more about the Center for Medical Progress at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. David, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
On the other side of the break, Wesley Smith joins us. As we begin a new year, we're going to talk a little bit about what lies ahead in 2017 in terms of bioethics. What's on the horizon? What are the big agendas for the breaches of bioethics? We'll talk about all of that on this Monday, January the 9th, with Wesley Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for helping us make budget and for more than 4 million downloads of Issues, Etc. in 2016. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 9 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues, Etc., live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2017.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.